We're pleased to present for you the weekly sermon broadcast from the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa, where God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our gospel reading today comes from the 8th chapter of Luke. Jesus and his disciples sailed on over to the territory of Gerasa, which is across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a man from the town who had demons in him. For a long time, this man had gone without clothes and would not stay at home, but spent his time in burial caves. When he saw Jesus, he gave a loud cry, threw himself down at his feet, and shouted, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me." He said this because Jesus had ordered the evil spirit to go out of him. Many times it had seized him, and even though he was kept a prisoner, his hands and feet tied with chains, he would break the chains and be driven by the demon out in the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Mob," he answered, because many demons had gone into him. The demons begged Jesus not to send them to the abyss. There was a large herd of pigs nearby, feeding on a hillside, so the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he let them. They went out of the man and into the pigs. The whole herd rushed down the side of the cliff into the lake and was drowned. The men who had been taking care of the pigs saw what happened, so they ran off and spread the news in the town and among the farms. People went out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were all afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the man had been cured. Then all the people from that territory asked Jesus to go away because they were terribly afraid. So Jesus got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus, "Let me go with you." But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Go back home and tell what God has done for you." The man went through town, telling what Jesus had done for him. Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are God. We worship you. Amen.
Our focus scripture for this morning comes from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 15a, part of the story, a portion, if you will, of the story of the prophet Elisha. Pay close attention to the words of this story. King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, and how he had put all the prophets of Baal to death. She sent a message to Elijah. "May the God strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same thing to you that you did to the prophets." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Beersheba. Leaving the servant there, Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. "It's too much, God," he prayed. "Take away my life. I might as well be dead." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Wake up, Elijah, and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. God's angel returned and woke him up a second time, saying, "Get up and eat, or the trip will be too much for you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly, God spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "God, I have always served you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," God said to him. Then God passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But God was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "God, I have always served you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." God said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Poor Elijah. Things had been going so well for him. He had just come off a high, so to speak. He had just won a contest between Elijah's God and the God of Baal. They had a contest to see whose God was stronger. And Elijah had won. He was on top of the world. But things weren't going so well now. For when Jezebel caught wind of it, she ordered a hit on Elijah. She ordered him killed. She wanted him dead. And so life had become too much for Elijah, and he reacted the only way that I believe any of us would. He became fearful. He ran away to hide and try to escape what he thought was coming. The threat that Jezebel had made to him. The old phrase, and I paraphrase this, would fit well for Elijah at this point, at this time in his life. When you are up to your backside in alligators, it's easy to forget that you came to drain the swamp. Elijah had forgotten in this moment, this episode of chaos in his life, what his job was. We can all identify with that. Sometimes we lose sight of what we are about, what we are supposed to be about. when things are bleak for us, when those moments in our life come when chaos reigns, that while Elijah is hiding, he is approached and fed, bread and water for the journey. The journey that is ahead of him, because his journey is not over. He wished it would be, but it's not. And bread and water is fine, that food that will feed him physically, but Elijah's going to need a lot more than bread and a jar of water to continue on his journey, his life's journey. Life circumstances can change quickly. We know that. Things can be moving along in our lives swimmingly, wonderfully, smoothly, when out of nowhere something happens that changes our perspective, that interrupts that smooth sailing, that throws us into chaos. It could be bad news. It could be a health issue. It could be a number of things that from time to time do disrupt our smooth, well-planned lives. And when those times happen, it's easy to forget that we came to drain the swamp. They say that life is a journey. We've said that ourselves, most likely. We also know through the experience of the life that we have lived to this point in our life's journey that there are wilderness moments. There are times when life seems to be too much, and we wish that we were dead. When those moments come, when those wilderness events happen in our lives, yes, we will need bread and water, food to feed us physically, to give us strength, but we need more than that kind of food. We will need food as well to strengthen us in mind and spirit, to get us through the wilderness time, to give us strength to carry on, to help us to remember what our journey is and what our life is about, who it is about. When those times happen in your life, and they happen to all of us, what is it that feeds you? What feeds your mind? What feeds your spirit when life is too much? What do you draw upon to give you strength for the journey ahead? My daughter Christine texted me this past week and she said, "I have a song that I want you to listen to." She gave me the title of the song. The title of the song, if you want to give it a listen on YouTube, it's a great song, is called "I Refuse." It's by Josh Wilson, Christian rock artist. Christine's been listening to a lot of Christian rock lately, and she said, "When I'm feeling down, when life's getting a little bit too much for me, I listen to this music, and it uplifts me." That's what feeds her when her life is in chaos, when she's in a wilderness moment. There are other things, yes, as well, but think about it for a moment. What feeds you? Is it a time of prayer? Is it coming to worship? Is it taking a walk in nature? Looking at the stars? Communing with family or friends? What is it that feeds you and brings you closer to God? What is it that gives you strength for the journey that's ahead? Elijah took a little temporary retreat. Of course he was afraid. Of course he ran. He needed to get away for a little bit. But even in that retreat time, even though he wasn't clear, he wasn't thinking straight, because his life was too much at that moment, he discovered that God was there to listen to his complaints, to his laments, but yet God provided him strength for the journey, went with him into the wilderness, and will go with him as he leaves, as he walks out of it, back onto his life's path. Yes, we have to go back Elijah found that out. God didn't let him stay where he was in his despair, in his fear. There's only one way we can go in our life's journey, and that's forward. We can take a temporary retreat, but we have to keep on keeping on. We do so knowing that God hears our concerns, provides for us, and goes with us every step of the way. On that we can bank. On that we can be sure. We can be confident. We can be strengthened. I ran across a quote from Vincent van Gogh. He said, in spite of everything, he was going through a tough time at this moment. In spite of everything, he says, I shall rise again. I will take up my pencil, which I have forsaken in my great discouragement, and I will go on with my drawing. That's a good thing for us to remember, isn't it? In our moments of great discouragement, in our wilderness moments, when life is too much, we will go on with our drawing, with our living, on our life path, strengthened by the God who loves us and who provides all sorts of different kinds of food to nourish us in our journey. We can go on. We will go on. Strengthened through the God who loves us steadfastly. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The First Congregational United Church of Christ is located at McGregor and Moore, just south of downtown Algona. We encourage you to join us each Sunday at 10 a.m. for our weekly services at the First Congregational United Church of Christ, where God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.